From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello listener, how are you today? I hope you are fine and I will accompany you with 60 minutes ahead for today's edition. And we'd like to present some programs started with news, commentary and other soft information as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop song. Listener, we begin our program with news. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id.
First news, first headlines. NLE implementation projected to slash logistic costs to 17%. Indonesia-Sweden agreed to forge cooperation in technology. Now the news in details. Implementation of the National Logistic Ecosystem NLE is estimated to reduce logistics costs from 23.5% to 17% of the gross domestic product's GDP, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati stated on Thursday. She said that with this reform, the logistics sector will get a boost not only in terms of efficiency, but also its contribution to enhancing competitiveness of the national economy. Under the new system, business process will be simplified through an integrated checking service that covers online single submissions, port services, and licensing. As reported by Antara, the system has integrated the work of several ministries and institutions, Finance Ministry, Transportation Ministry, Trade Ministry, Agriculture Ministry, Industry Ministry, Marine Affairs and Fishery Ministry, Investment Coordinating Board, Batam Development Agency, and some other related institution. Sri Mulyani pointed out that logistic costs in Indonesia were higher as compared to those of other Asian countries, including Singapore and Malaysia. Currently, logistic costs in Indonesia reaches 23.5% of the GDP, while in Malaysia it only stood at 13%. Indonesia and Sweden have agreed to cooperate in the fields of technology and human resource capacity building through partnerships between their university and industrial sectors, according to representatives from the two nations. Director General for American and European Affairs at the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, Igede Ngurah Swajaya, said at an online seminar on Thursday, held to mark 70 years of diplomatic relations between the two countries, that Sweden is the second most innovative country in the world. They hope that they can direct the cooperation in the fields of technology and human resource development. Swajaya delivered a general lecture at the discussion during the event. He said the partnership between the two nations would also cover scholarships and internship for students. Meanwhile, Swedish Ambassador to Indonesia, Marina Berg, concurred with Swajaya and said that human resource capacity building is needed to connect the industrial sectors, university and governments of the two countries. As quoted by Antara, Berg spoke of the triple helix concept, the model of human resource empowerment that has been much used in Sweden and the rest of the world. The Batu Kampar port in Batam will be developed as the first green port in Indonesia, Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment Luhut Binsar Panjaitan stated. During a virtual joint press conference on the National Logistic Ecosystem NLE on Thursday, the minister shed light on his plan to observe the construction project of the port and check the NLE system in the region. As quoted by Antara, the minister revealed that the government will also bring about improvements in the shipping industry in Bintan and Batam. It has also allocated 5 trillion rupiah for waste clearing and will deploy the Navy and Maritime Security Agency, Wakamla, to intercept ships dumping waste in Indonesian waters. Moreover, the government will rearrange the underwater optical fiber cable installation. Panjaitan is optimistic that the NLE's implementation, as stipulated in Presidential Instruction No. 5 of 2020 on the National Logistic Ecosystem, would improve cost efficiency, boost investment, and increase state revenue. The system that will cut short logistics services from 17 transactions to just one single service is projected to offer cost efficiency of some 1.5 trillion rupiah in Batam. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move on to the international news. Thailand's parliament voted on Thursday, September 24th, to delay making a decision on whether it will amend the constitution, as demanded by anti-government protesters who have demonstrated nearly every day for more than 2 months. The parliament, dominated by supporters of the government, opted instead to set up a committee to study the process of the constitutional amendment first. Pro-government lawmaker China Worn Ponyakyat told Reuters that the vote to accept a motion for constitutional changes is effectively delayed to November. The decision angered opposition's parliamentarians and protesters, more than 1,000 of whom had gathered outside the parliament to press their demands for constitutional change and for the removal of Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha. Protesters says the current constitution was drafted to ensure he kept power after election last year. Prayut says the vote was fair. The United States, China, and Russia fought on Thursday during the United Nations Security Council meeting on the coronavirus pandemic after UN Chief Antonio Guterres had warned the body that if the climate crisis was approached with the same disunity and disarray of COVID-19, then he feared the worst. Guterres said the coronavirus was out of control as the global death toll approaches 1 million. While more than 30 million have been infected, he blamed a lack of global preparedness, cooperation, unity, and solidarity. The pandemic is a clear test of international cooperation, a test that every country essentially failed, he told the 15-member body. While not naming any countries, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov noted that the pandemic had deepened differences between states. China on Thursday, September 24th, lashed out at the United States at the high-level United Nations meeting over its criticism of the coronavirus, with its envoy declaring enough is enough. 2 days after President Donald Trump used his annual address to the General Assembly to attack China's record, its ambassador to the UN, Zhang Chun, strongly criticized the U.S. role in global affairs. He told a Security Council meeting on global governance attended through video conference by several heads of state that he said the U.S. have created enough troubles for the world already. The U.S. has nearly 7 million confirmed cases and over 200,000 deaths by now. With the most advanced medical technologies and system in the world, why has the U.S. turned out to have the most confirmed cases and fatalities? A surge in COVID-19 cases in Europe risks becoming a deadly double epidemic of flu and coronavirus infection, European Union health officials warned on Thursday as they urge Europeans and their governments not to let their guard down. The European Union Commissioner for Health, Stella Kriakits, told a media briefing that it is abundantly clear that this crisis is not behind all the people. With winter approaching in the region, she warned of the risk of a potentially lethal twindemic of COVID-19 and the flu, and urged governments to encourage people to get seasonal flu vaccine and adhere to social distancing measures to reduce transmission of the novel coronavirus. Seasonal flu viruses cause between 4 million and 50 million infections each year across the European region, and an estimated 15,000 to 70,000 Europeans die each year of causes linked to flu. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Hello, listener of Radio Republic Indonesia. My name is Gustavo Ayares, Ambassador of Chile to Indonesia. This is a wonderful opportunity to express our congratulations for the 75th anniversary of the radio. And I hope that in the future will be a wonderful future for the listener, for the community that follow this radio. All the best for you. Blessings.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling Post-Peace Agreement between United Arab Emirates and Israel. Many people guess what relationship will occur between the United Arab Emirates, UAE, and Israel after being mediated by the United States of America. It turns out that the move was followed by a series of announcements about business deals and contracts between companies of both countries. What has caught the eye is that a number of the United Arab Emirates companies have signed contracts with Israeli companies and banks. Although they are on the UN blacklist for supporting illegal settlement in the occupied West Bank, it is known that among the contracts announced by the United Arab Emirates media, one of them involved Bank Leumi, whose name is on the UN blacklist. According to the official Emirati media, this Israeli bank has signed agreement with the top three United Arab Emirates banks, namely Abu Dhabi Islamic Banks, First Abu Dhabi Bank, and Emirates NBD. Bank Leumi is Israel's largest bank based on total assets as of 2015, with branch offices in several countries such as Luxembourg, United States, Switzerland, the UK, and China. Although it was nationalized in 1981, most of the bank's shares are now in private hands. The Israeli government is still the largest shareholders with 14.8% of the shares as of June 2006. In 2016 and 2018, the UN Human Rights Council approved resolutions to compile a blacklist of companies operating in illegally Israeli settlements in the West Bank. The development of settlements and infrastructure has caused Palestinians to lose their freedom of movement and religion, including access to education. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammed Tayyeh, in an Arab news post, said that these companies are scooping up the natural resources of the Palestinian territories, thereby reducing the population of their natural wealth. For this reason, Prime Minister Mohammed Tayyeh demanded that they immediately close their headquarters and branches in illegal Israeli settlement. According to Prime Minister Mohammed Tayyeh, the presence of these companies is against the attitude of the international community and the UN resolutions. From the cooperation with Leumi Bank, which is blacklisted by the UN, it is clear that both the United Arab Emirates and Israel are prioritizing their interests without caring for other parties, including the UN, let alone Palestine. Naturally, this matter will be in the spotlight and it causes concern. With this disrespect of the international community's concern regarding the Palestinian issues continue. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, we meet again in our regular Today in History of the Voice of Indonesia. We start from a historical event on September 25, 1978. Pacific Southwest Airline plane, Flight 182, crashed in San Diego, the United States. Pacific Southwest Airlines Flight 182 is a commercial Boeing 727-214, which collided with a private light aircraft Cessna 172 over the San Diego area, California, at 9:01 a.m. local time on Monday, September 25, 1978. The tragedy was the first fatal accident of Pacific Southwest Airlines. The plane crash was the deadliest in the United States aviation history. The two planes crashed in the North Park area, San Diego, at the intersection of Dwight and the Nile, killing 144 people on both planes and 7 on the ground, including 2 children. Next, turn to a history on September 25, 1992, NASA launched Mars Observer. The Mars Observer, known as the Mars Geoscience Climatology Orbiter, was a robotic spacecraft with a mass of 1,000 and 18 kilograms launched by NASA on September 25, 1992. It was the first robotic mission sent to study the surface, atmosphere, climate, and magnetic field of Mars. However, this mission failed and lost communication on August 21, 1993. 3 days before the mission entered orbit, so attempt to restore communications at that time was declared a failure. We end with a history on September 25, 2003, Hokkaido earthquake. The earthquake off the coast of Hokkaido, Japan, occurred on September 25, 2003 UTC or September 26 local time. The point of the earthquake occurred at a depth of 27 km below sea level, with a strength of 8.3 on the Richter scale. This earthquake was the strongest earthquake in Japan since 1900, after the devastating earthquake in 1730. The Hokkaido earthquake caused massive damage, destroying roads, landslides, and cutting electricity connections. The Hokkaido earthquake, which was felt across Japan, caused tsunami with a height of 4 meters and left at least 800 people injured. That was today in history.
Perjalanan jauh yang telah kutempuh. lepas segera memelukmu lagi.
Well, fellow listener, you've listened to the song and you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. In today's edition, I'd like to give you another segment, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled, Minister Sri Mulyani as halal product export must be continuously increased. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati asked that the export of halal products continue to be pushed to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC member countries. Minister Sri Mulyani, in the event of the Islamic Economic and Financial Research Forum of the Indonesian Islamic Economies Association in Jakarta on Monday, September 21, said that export of Indonesian halal products would be encouraged by utilizing Indonesia's membership in the OIC Islamic State Organization Forum. Minister Sri Mulyani said that the export of halal products to OIC countries in 2018 had reached $45 billion US dollars, or 12.5% of Indonesia's total trade. However, the minister said Indonesia could also increase export of halal products to countries that were not included in the OIC because they had a large Muslim population and their demand for goods and services continued to increase. The total expenditure of the Muslim population in the world, which amounts to 1.8 billion people or 24% of the world's total population, is estimated at $2.2 trillion. The expenditure of the Muslim communities in the world covers all fields, such as food, medicine, lifestyle, and various other things that are influenced by the needs and ethical values of Islamic teaching. This expenditure also has a sizable growth. Therefore, Minister Sri Mulyani, who is also the chairperson of the Islamic Economics Expert Association, stated that Indonesian halal products have a large international market share. With this rapid growth, the Islamic economy is actually an important part of the global economy. The minister added that the COVID-19 pandemic has affected the economic performance of all countries in the world. Challenges are coming, such as potential decreasing demand. This is a challenge that is not easy and will definitely affect the ability and demand of these countries toward Indonesian export goods. Minister Sri Mulyani hopes that the growth of export of Indonesian halal products can be maintained, even in the midst of a crisis caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. There was My Indonesia.
Satu, hey, 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 hey. lagi. Sekali di udara, tetap di udara. Semenjak 45 tak pernah berhenti. Patuh dan setia berjiwa Pancasila.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, then we would like to present next segment, Indonesia Wonder, about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I would like to take you to Ngurubloot Beach. Kei Islands are located in the south peninsula of the bird's head of Irian Jaya, west area of Aru Islands, and northeast of the Tanimbar Islands, Maluku Province. The Kei Islands consist of two main islands, Kei Kecil and Kei Besar. Both are in the southeast Maluku Region Sea, with the capital city of Langur, Southeast Maluku has 119 islands. By having 119 islands, Kei can be recommended to be a tourism destination for people who love marine tourism. To travel to Kei, you can take an airplane from Ambon City to Karo Satsuitubun International Airport on the island of Kei Kecil. Traveling to the Kei Islands, you can enjoy various tourism objects. One of them is Ngurublot Beach, located in Nyilngik Village, Southeast Maluku Regency. Ngurublot Beach is located in Nyilngik Village, Southeast Maluku Regency. Ngur in Kei local language means sand. The beach is beside it, about 18 kilometers from Langur, the capital of Southeast Maluku. Due to its location facing west, this beach is an appropriate place to witness sunsets. The beach stretches for 3 kilometers, that's why this beach is also known as Pasir Panjang Beach. The sand is so smooth and soft as National Geographic dubs it as the beach with the softest sand in Asia. The sea is declivious and shallow. You don't need to be afraid to swim there because the waves have already broken at a distance of 100 meters from the land. If the water recedes, the shallow area transforms into a white desert. If you are in Ngurublot Beach, you can also observe from a far distance how local fishermen throw their nets. This becomes an interesting sight to be looked at. The best time to visit Ngurublot Beach is between April to May and October to December, because during those months, the waves are relatively calmer and the climate is pleasant. Several lodgings such as villas and bungalows with rates of about 500,000 rupiah per night can be found along the coast. Listener, that's the end of Indonesian Wonder for today's edition entitled Ngurublot Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Pisahkan kau dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lambut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi.
Menarilah bersamaku, melebur menjadi satu.
Dan aku di malam ini. Bisik suaramu terdengar, lembut kau sebut namaku. Rasakan hangat nafasmu, seakan ku terbang tinggi.
Bersamaku melebur menjadi satu. Buat malamu
aku melabur menjadi satu.
Yang kubuat malammu takkan pernah
hanya kamu dan aku.
You've just listened to the third pop song, and for next segment, we'll present to you Miss Eleni. So stay tuned for a listener on Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, welcome back to Miss Eleni. Today, we are going to inform you about product of sunscreen from fruit waste ingredients innovated by UB students. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. On one hand, the sunshine that shines throughout the year in Indonesia has a positive impact. On the other hand, sunlight contains UVA and UVB rays. Of course, it will have a negative impact on human skins, such as sunburn, premature aging, and even dangerous diseases, namely skin cancer. Based on the result of the 2007 Basic Health Research Survey, skin cancer ranks the third largest of all types of cancer in Indonesia. For this reason, five chemical engineering students of University of Brawijaya, Malang, created a sunscreen to protect the skin. They use avocado waste, natural substance, as the main ingredients in sunscreen. Avocado is chosen because nowadays Indonesia produces a lot of avocados. However, generally, the pulp of avocado that is used is only the meat, while the other part is discarded. Of course, this will cause a lot of avocado peel and seed waste when viewed from the amount of production. In fact, avocado seeds and skin contain secondary metabolite compounds such as tannins, flavonoids, and vegetable oils. All of these compounds can be used as chemical absorbers because they can absorb UVT. The sunscreen is named Ivoralim, which is made from waste avocado seeds and skins. Ivoralim is in the form of a cream measuring 60 milliliters and is sold for 40,000 rupiah per bottle. If the buyers returned 5 used product bottles, they will exchange them for a tote bag with attractive design. In addition, the Ivoralim team plans to cooperate with the Malang Recycling Center to recycle the returned bottles. In the future, the Ivoralim formula will be further developed to make it more optimal and increase the variance of bottle sizes and packaging. That was Miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, next segment would like to give you information about music. For today's edition, we'll present traditional music, so stay tuned, Voice Listener.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to play some original songs in medley and accompanied by electronic dance music or EDM to be played by Indonesian young composer Alfie Reef, and the song is sung by Gia Cinta Swasti Anindya Jati. Awalu Rizky Alfirori, who is popularly called Alfie Reef, is a YouTuber, composer, musical producer, and also cinematographer. He has excellent skills to use Launchpad Pro as a media to be a composer of the songs. Alfie always puts in Indonesian national songs and also musical elements of a number of tribes in Indonesia, such as Bali and Batak, which are relevant with today's music. He incorporates EDM and traditional musical elements into Indonesian national songs. He perceives that by collaborating EDM with local culture, it will make Indonesia be more widely known through musical media of EDM and easy listening, and could be accepted by many people, especially Indonesian people. Well, listeners, let's listen to Alfie Reef and Gia Cinta Swasti Anindya Jati with regional songs entitled Si Batu Manikam, Cublak Cublak Suweng, Ampar Ampar Pisang, Bubui Bulan, and Rasa Sayange, which are sung in a medley. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kurasa ku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Oh, apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat menatapnya. Mengapa aku begini hilang berani dekat denganmu? Ingin ku memilikimu, tapi aku tak tahu bagaimana caranya. Tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa, sampai aku mampu ucap maukah denganku. Kurasa ku sedang jatuh cinta, karena rasanya ini berbeda. Apakah ini memang cinta? Selalu berbeda saat beratapnya. Di sini aku berdiri menanti waktu yang tepat hingga akhirnya ku mampu katakan padamu. Oh, tolong katakan pada lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa. Mungkinkah dia tahu cinta yang ku mau? Oh, oh, tolong katakan pada dirinya, lagu ini ku tuliskan untuknya. Namanya selalu ku sebut dalam doa.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your attention. And after this English language program broadcasting, we will give another interesting information. So stay tuned with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.vianews.id. Listener, do not forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram account at voice.of.indonesia, or our Twitter account at VOI Indonesia. And you can also give your criticism and suggestion to our email address voi@vianews.id.